Blog Talk Radio.
Roughly right now, probably about 20 trays
of microgreens going and to fulfill orders that we've already received. And so we are thanking Yah for that. And then, you know, today I was doing the planting for 2 weeks from Monday. So trying to do them 2 weeks ahead of time because that's about how long it takes to grow. And we had to start over. And so Yah is blessing, and we are seeing, you know, the fruits of that labor. All right, well, welcome everybody to Tuesday night newcomers class. And the subject on this evening is going to be judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged. And I'm bringing this to the table because a lot of people, when they are in the world or they're in the Christian church, they hear that statement, judge not, lest you be judged. You can't judge me. Don't let nobody judge you in this or that. Okay, and so we want to really look at this thing as far as newcomers go, as far as what that really means and what Messiah was saying. Because really he was saying, don't be a hypocrite. If you're doing something, don't try to judge somebody for, you know, and you're doing the same thing, you're being hypocritical. It's not that you are, let's say, if somebody's doing a certain type of sin, he's saying, hey, you should judge that if you know not to do it. Okay, but if you are guilty of doing it yourself, how are you going to tell somebody to stop something you're doing? Anyway, we're going to look at what Messiah was saying when he said this. We're also going to be looking at the function of the law and, you know, the Most High being the executor. He gave the law, and then he was also the judge. He gave the law, you know, is what Congress does. It's the lawmakers in this country. And then the executive branch, the president, enforces the law. And then the judicial adjudicates or, you know, tries to determine what the law is actually saying and tell, you know, whoever, the court, the judge, this is what the law says, and this is what the maximum penalty is if they're found guilty, and this is what, you know, if they're set free, if they can be paid any lump sum or anything like that. And so we want to look at all this because we are in an age where men want to set their own standards. So, you know, I was looking at this from the standpoint, did the Most High ever authorize anyone to authorize mankind to change his law? Did he give that, you know, permission to the priesthood or to the elders or anything like that? Did he ever do that? And so we want to look into this so that we understand that there are things that have, I was listening to a broadcast and quote-unquote, the Jews claim that they outlawed polygamy in 1000 A.D., which is, you know, the year 1000. And I said, you know, the rabbis don't have that authority to do that, to outlaw that. You know, I was looking at this subject because I've been looking at the, Kitabah, which is, you know, the marriage contract, the Hebrew marriage contract. And somebody offered me, you know, to take a course on it. And so I started looking into it. And, you know, so I'm thinking about taking their course to help develop, you know, our contract when it comes to marriage and, you know, what was traditional. And so I started seeing certain things. I said, you know, let me go look this up. Let me go look that up. And so eventually I will give a course on this, I was looking into it and seeing, you know, what is actually there in the scriptures and what is allowed and what is not allowed. And so I started seeing where men were changing the laws of the Most High, and he did not give men the authority to change his law. Did not give them the authority to do that. So it brought me back to Romans chapter 10. And so we want to look at all these things in accordance with the word of the Most High as far as judgment goes. Because I think we misunderstand. Well, I'm not even going to say that. I'm just going to say we're going to go over what judgment actually is and what a judger is supposed to go by. Anybody that's doing in the role of a judge, or if it's in your personal life, or, you know, whatever the case may be, it's in your best interest to understand what judgment actually is. Hold on a minute. All right, so we want to delve into this, and this is something that every saint should know so that we don't misconstrue certain scriptures because they have been abused in accordance with what the Most High, what Messiah said. When we cherry pick the scriptures and then we come up with a doctrine that, you know, suffices or fits our own personal need as far as what we want to do personally. But if what we want to do, if it's not in accordance with or not in line with the Most High, then we definitely don't want to do that. So let's go ahead and get this started. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say that in this particular precept, we want to pay attention to certain definitions. And so we're going to make those definitions from the scriptures as we go along so that we understand when we read the verse what is being said there. Because I was listening to a video between a federal judge and a rabbi, and they were comparing the two systems. What laws are honored from what Jewish laws are honored in the United States? And again, this was coming from the Ketubah. Because, you know, they were saying one of the lessons in the Ketubah was why you should not have marriage license, or, you know, the I guess, pitfall. And I'm like, I don't think you can get around that. I hadn't had a chance to delve into it, and the Most High started taking me all kind of different ways. So we're going to talk about judgment on this evening. So let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us go before the Most High. Holy hands raised. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, oh Father. And we magnify your name and we lift you up, Father. And we glorify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to you in the height. And we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our verse for this evening. Let's see where I put it at. Our verse for this evening is 1, the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. That is the topic for this lesson, and so I just want to delve into it. I didn't plan to do this in more than one lesson, so let's see if we can make it through it in one. If not, we will pick it back up on next week. So let us start here. Let me bring this up, and let me get my glasses. I want to start with some definitions. And I'm going to, you know, for those who are online, I want to share my screen. I'm going to share my Bible so that we can be looking at the same thing. So let me do that. Well, let me bring up my Bible first. Okay. And if you will confirm when you can see my Bible, that will help out greatly. All right, you should be able to see. Screen sharing is enabled, so you should be able to see it. And if somebody will let me know if you're able to or not. The Bible shared on my screen.
The Bible on your screen.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's do this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 7. And Yah said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. We want to look at this word righteous, because righteousness has to do with judgment. Okay, so when we look at this, at the bottom of my left hand bottom of my screen. The word righteousness is from the Hebrew dictionary 6662. Tzedak, just, lawful, righteous, in parentheses, man. So the justice and being just has to do with being what? Lawful. Righteous has to do with being what? Lawful. And this is important that we understand this, that this has to do with being lawful, obeying the laws of the Most High. That's what makes you, if you obey, then you are righteous. Okay, so it's saying here that Noah was the only man that the Most High saw before the flood as being righteous or lawful, obeying him. Okay, at the time of the flood. He's the only one that he saw. Now let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Because this is critical, and I have taken the opportunity to we're going to read this as it is, and then we're going to put in the definition for righteous or righteousness here, okay? Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1, we're going to be verses 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Elohim. For Christ or Mashiach is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now I want us to replace righteousness in here with the word, with the definition that we have for this word. Okay? So let's reread that and replace righteousness so that we understand what that, what it's actually saying. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim and going about to establish their own justice, have not submitted themselves to the justice of Elohim. For Christ is the end of the law for justice to everyone that believeth. Okay, so Israel, our forefathers, they had a zeal of Elohim. They said they kept the statutes, laws, and commandments. But what they didn't keep was justice or his laws. They didn't judge according to his laws. And so we're going to look into this because this is what Messiah is talking about. So this word justice or righteousness is, let's look at this, Romans. Look up this word righteousness. And so to speak. Of character or act. Specifically Christian justification. Righteousness. Okay. Now this righteousness, right, in the Hebrew, concerned being just or lawful. So we could have actually said in that, like verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for lawfulness to everyone that believes. We could have changed those words out either one. Okay? So let's continue here. That Hebrew word was, no, that's a Greek word. How did it say? Dikaiosune. Dikaiosune in the Greek. But in the Hebrew, that word is similar to tasadaki, to tasadak, sedak. I can't even say this. I'll just show you. And we'll look up this in the Hebrew. Tzedakah. Rightness. Subjectively. Restitute. Objectively justice. Morally virtue. Or figuratively prosperity. Justice. Moderate. Right or righteous. So we know the root of this is righteous. And to be righteousness is to be lawful, as we looked up before, in that the root of this word. H663. Now, I'm setting these up so that when we look at this word judge, then we will be looking at it from the right standpoint. So our root here is just or lawful. The Most High gave his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgment according to his law. And when we are judging, we have to judge according to his law, not according to our own standard, because this is what men have done. He's the one that gave the law in the scriptures, and so we have to judge according to his law. So let's do Isaiah chapter 55. The book of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, and we're going to get verse 8. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my way, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yah. So when we look at his judgment, and we look at his statute and his commandments, then we got to understand that his judgments are based upon his thoughts. His judgments and his laws are based upon his ways. And this is the way that we have to judge. We can't judge according to our own thoughts, according to our own ways. And this is what men have been doing. This is what Israel, our forefathers, did. And this is what Messiah, when he was talking to them, when we go to the New Testament and we bring this forward, when Messiah was talking to them, he was talking about, when he says, judge not, lest you be judged, talking about don't judge according to your own standards. And don't judge, if you judge somebody or something, if you're guilty of it. Because when you pronounce judgment on them, then if you're guilty of it, we'll just read it when we get there. Okay? He's not saying don't judge, because we're going to see exactly what he's really saying. He tells us exactly what he's meaning by this statement. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're going to get verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And this is the Most High talking to Israel. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and oppose and possess the land which I, Elohim of your fathers, give you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it. Don't take anything out of it. You may that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim which I command you. So the Most High never gave man or Israel the authority to change his laws. Only ones that can change his laws is the Most High. It's the only one. That's why when we're in the New Testament and the Most High wants to get Peter to go to the Gentiles, he said, I'm the one that declared what was clean and what was unclean. So if I tell you something is clean now, it's clean. I'm the one that can change. You can't just change that on your own. And man can't just change that on their own. And the rabbis can't change that. Because, see, this is where a lot of this stuff is coming from. The false, and I'm going to say this, false rabbis who were not filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Because when I read that in rabbinic, what's required to make one a rabbi, being filled with the Spirit of the Most High is not a requirement. You just study the law, which means that you can come to a, you're studying the law from your own mind. And we have to have the mind of the Most High, the mind of Mashiach, to properly interpret the law. And so things that they didn't agree with, they started changing it in the Talmud and making up what they wanted, to be acceptable and what was not to be acceptable. But the Most High never gave the authority for any man to change his laws. Not Moses, Messiah. He didn't even change his laws. He clarified them, but he didn't change them. He said not one jot and not one tittle would pass from the law until all be fulfilled. So nothing has changed about his laws. And when we're making judgment, then we were supposed to be making judgment according to his law. Okay? So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Because as saints of the Most High and as quote-unquote Christians, so that when we are counseling people, when we are quote-unquote judging, that we're doing it in accordance with what the Most High says, how to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. You shall not do after all these things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. This is what our forefathers were doing before the Most High brought them out of Egypt. When he brought them out of Egypt into the desert, they continued to do this, what was right in their own eyes. And they even did it even after we got into the land. So they're being instructed here, don't do after your, you know, your own thoughts, your own mind. Let's go to Judges chapter 21. See if this is the case. Judges chapter 21. Let's get verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, they're in Israel now. The Most High, you know, said don't every man do what's right in his own eyes. Don't add to or take away from my law, my judgment, my statutes, my commandments. Do them. But we see here in Judges, this is the time who is the brother? That was real strong. Good grief. Samson. And these different judges that the Most High gave to judge the people according to his laws, not according to their own standards, not according, you know, Samson couldn't come up with his own law. He was the judge over Israel. To judge after the standards of the Most High. Go to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. And let's get verse 10. Genesis 49 and 10. Jacob's prophecy about Judah. About Israel, not Judah, but Israel. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So this is talking about Messiah, and Messiah is the lawgiver. Messiah is the judge. He's going to be the lawgiver and the judge. He has the authority to change the law. But what Messiah did was, when he came back, or when he came, he didn't make any changes to the law. He made clarifications to the law. He gave understanding to the intent of the law and what, you know, what our frame of mind should be concerning his laws. And so we got to understand, sorry, prophesied that he would come and he would be a lawgiver. So the rulership nor the lawgiver from between his feet, from between the feet of Judah. Moses was given the law through the Most High. We know that Messiah is the Most High in flesh. And if anybody was going to make a change to the law, he would have done it then. And the things that he changed, that he modified, was that we could go to the Gentiles. And that he never wanted the blood of bulls and goats for sin. He did it because of our nature, but he never wanted that. So he gave the law. Well, let's just keep going. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're going to start in verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Because this is a prophecy. And we need to understand what the Most High said in this. Behold, the days come, says Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yah. I will put my law in their inward parts. I'm going to put my judgment, because Israel's supposed to know the law and judge according it. But you, in order to make judgment, righteous judgment, you got to know the law. It's got to be in your inward parts. You got to be doing it to be a real judge. If you don't know the law, you can't judge according to the law. And so we're going to see what the Most High said of the judge, what they were supposed to do. So when Messiah tells us, judge not, lest you be judged, that we have an understanding of what he's saying. I'm going to write my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Okay? So this is the new covenant, the new contract. I'm going to write my laws in your inward parts and in your heart. I'm not going to let you make up your own laws. I'm not going to put my laws and my statutes and my commandments and my judgments and my ordinances on hold and say you don't have to keep them up under Messiah. And this is what the world has done. We don't have to keep those laws. We're not up under those laws. And they are judging and making judgments according to their own law, according to their own righteousness, their own lawfulness, would not do what the Most High said. Messiah didn't come and say, hey, all that's canceled out anyway. Don't even worry about it. Judge not, lest you be judged. Don't worry about it. You ain't got nothing to judge anyway, because I'm taking away this law. It's not what he said. So we got to really understand that as saints of the Most High. He said the new covenant is, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. And this covenant is with Israel and with Judah. It doesn't say anything about the rest of the world. The rest of the world is joining into this covenant. And the rest of the world has to do what the Most High says to do. As they learn it, they have to do it. And when they learn that their laws are out of sync with his laws, then they're supposed to change their laws to match his. But they have not done that. They have done what is right in their own eyes. All the nations, even our own people. Okay, and this is what Messiah came for. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, the book of Hebrews chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 7, because it's a reiteration of what we just read according to Jeremiah. For if the first covenant had been faultless, sought for the second, for finding fault with them, our forefathers, Israel. He said, behold, the days come, saith Yah, when I will make a new covenant, a new contract, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, meaning that they broke the covenant, they transgressed, they broke his laws, they wouldn't keep them. And how they wouldn't keep them is they wouldn't keep the judgment. The judgment. And I regarded them not, saith Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith God. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. The same thing he said in Jeremiah. I'm not doing away with my laws. I'm not doing away with I'm not doing away with my judgment. I'm going to have the same judgment if you transgress. The penalty is the same. You're going to find out that that's the job of a judge. So when we have judges, the judges are supposed to judge according to his law, not according to the laws of man, and not to take his laws and change them to fit us. He never gave us that authority to change his laws right in our own eyes. He never gave us that authority. And they shall not teach every man and his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know Yah, for they shall know me from the least to the greatest. And for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. I will be merciful to their unlawfulness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I'm going to give you a chance to start over. Not saying he's not going to remember our sins forever, no more. Your past sins, he's not going to remember. You come to me and you come correctly, I'm going to forget your sins as though you had never done them and let you start over. And so when people are reading these verses, they're saying, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. They're taking that to say that I'm not going to ever remember them. If you sin again, you can't sin again because you're not up under a law. That's not what he's saying. Okay, so we gotta understand that when we are judging, even today, we got to judge according to his law, not our own, and not the laws that man makes up. Just like I went out and I asked a poll on the site Hebrew Connect, and I asked what calendar were people using to determine their feast day, and I said, are you keeping the Enoch calendar, the lunar? Are you keeping Enoch calendar, the solar? Are you keeping some other calendar? And so I think one brother came back and said, you got to keep both. I said, I agree, because, the only thing that we're really supposed to use the Enoch calendar for, the solar, was to determine the spring equinox, and the first full moon after the spring equinox is the first month. But the sun doesn't determine, it's not used to determine what that month is. So in that, as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at what people are doing, is everyone is doing what they think is right, whether it lines up with the scriptures or not. Okay, so Mosai says that we're not supposed to teach every man our neighbor and every man our brother, saying, know Yah, for all shall know me. Now, men are supposed to be getting to that, but if we're Israel, we should know. We should know, if we say we're keeping the laws of the Most High, then we should know what is permitted and what is not. But what we are doing is mixing the law of the land with the law of the Most High. Nowhere are we told to do that or that we can do that. We're told to keep the law of the land as long as it doesn't conflict with his. So men can make laws, but they can't make laws that overwrite the Most High's law. Because if they made the law, then the Most High's law is null and void. So let's continue. verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes away, waxes old, is ready to vanish away. The Most High made, as I said, some modifications in his law. He did not delete his law. He did not change it so that we have the authority to make his law what we want, whatever we want to make it. So I was shocked what I was doing when I was researching the Ketubah, which is the Hebrew marriage contract that's supposed to be made between a man and a woman. And according to the Ketubah, before the man and the woman get married, they come together, and he's supposed to say, if they divorce, what he's going to pay her. He's got to pay a sum up front. So this all has to be decided up front before they even get married. And so, you know, as I'm researching this and looking at things, then I was like, under their current quote-unquote Jewish law, two men can get married and two men can have a ketubah. And I was like, what the? So it really, really kind of turned me off, because they have turned around where the Most High said that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination to him. They have made it where even up under Jewish law, that the, you know, two men can create a ketubah, a marriage license, between themselves. And I was like, this can't be true. It can't be, because it's still got the way of the world. Nevertheless, we got to understand that that can't be. But, you know, I saw that where, you know, the, here are the marriage rights and the license and the agreement between two men. I was like, good grief. We are, you know, we are really, the Gentile nations are just enforcing their standard and saying that, you know, we are the true people of the book. But the true people of the book would never, ever go for that. So it has to let us know that there's some falsehood there. There are some imposters there. And the world has accepted them as, you know, the true people of the book. Okay. So let's continue. Let's look at some changes that the Most High made to his law and why, you know, we can't do certain things today, because he had already preordained it that once Messiah came, couldn't do, because he was going to have, you know, the temple tore down. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. And these are just examples. And we're going to start in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which Yah has commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that kills an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp. So whatever man or woman or stranger kills an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it unto the door, and brings it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto Yah before the tabernacle of Yah, blood shall be imputed unto that man. In other words, murder. You have taken innocent blood, because we're not, you know, we're not even supposed to kill an animal unless it's to eat. And he says, for a sacrifice, I'm going to count it as you took blood, you shed blood. And that man shall be cut off. We know that word cut off is killed, from among his people. So if somebody is killing an ox or a lamb or a goat, and it's not at the door of the tabernacle. The Most High says it's like they are committing murder. And their life is supposed to be given for the life of that animal. This ain't a life for a man. It's that you have taken blood of an innocent animal and you have sacrificed it, and I don't know to what. So bring it to the door of the tabernacle. Now, the thing that we have to ask ourselves, when the Most High had the tabernacle destroyed, had the temple destroyed, where was Israel going to take their sacrifice? If from the law you were not permitted to bring aside of the camp or outside, you know, outdoors somewhere, then you couldn't do a sacrifice if you didn't bring it to the door. Now let's see why he says that. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they bring them unto Yah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto Yah. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of Yah at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor, a sweet smell unto Yah. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. Because this is what, you know, they were offering away from the tabernacle because they were still worshiping some of the Elohim, some of the gods of Egypt, and some of the gods of the land. So the Most High says, my fix for that is, you want to bring me a spice, bring it to the door of the tabernacle. And then when they built the temple, bring it to the temple. Can't sacrifice, just make a sacrifice anywhere you want to. So they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. So when the tabernacle was taken down and the temple was put up, then they had to bring their sacrifices to the temple. When the temple was torn down in 70 AD, then you couldn't do any more animal sacrifices. And the Most High knew he was going to do that. So he said, your sin offering, Messiah is going to pay for your sin. And he's going to be the sin offering, the lamb. So don't bring me no more animal sacrifices. So he says, whoever did this was to be cut off from among their people. Say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers which sojourn among you that offers a burnt offering or a sacrifice, and brings it not to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer it unto Yah, even that man shall be cut off from among his people, or to be killed. And let's go ahead and just read verse 10, because, you know, we got so many Christians that love bloody steaks, and, you know, they won't cook their meat well. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. So now that one right there, that is a matter of how you cook your food. And if, you know, you're saying, oh, I like a rare steak, some blood in it. I like a medium well steak. As long as there's blood in it, the Most High says, he will cut you off. But, you know, these things don't apply if you're a Gentile. So they say. But the truth of the matter is, this law wasn't done away with. It wasn't changed. As a matter of fact, the Most High said, for somebody to come in to the kingdom. Let's go get that. Go to Acts chapter 15. So we can see that he doesn't change. And these things are brought forward. go down to the start of verse 19. Wherefore my sins assist, that we trouble not them, the Gentiles, which from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim, but that we write unto them that they abstain from the pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So how can somebody today call themselves, quote unquote, a Christian and continue to eat, you know, their meat rare or medium well, uncooked, not totally cooked? So he didn't change. He just said, hey, if they're coming into the kingdom, tell them to start this way. This is very egregious to the Most High. He don't like you eating the life of a thing. He says the blood is in, the life is in the blood. And to get into his kingdom, you can't do that. So we see that this is a law, and he shows that law even for the Gentiles to come into the kingdom. That's a starting place, okay, for them to come in. Let's continue. Let's look at the blood of bulls and goats. Sin. This is the law, and this is how we're supposed to be judging, according to his laws. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 10. To see what the Most High is talking about here concerning the animal sacrifice, okay, and that how he never really wanted them for sin. He allowed it to cover our sins, for Israel to make attempt until Messiah came. But it's not that he never wanted the animal sacrifice. So let's read this straight from the scripture. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. I allow them to make these sacrifices, but those sacrifices never made them perfect. It was not the intent. For when they would not have ceased to be offered, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. We did this, we did that. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Those sacrifices and offerings, you would not. You didn't really want them for what they were used for. Okay? In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, underline that, for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Listen, now, I don't want you making these animal sacrifices for sin. I never created the animals to die for your sin. I didn't create them to lose their life for you, for when you transgress against me, but instead of killing you for any little transgression, because let's just be clear, and we've gone through this study in the law, in the covenant, 99.9% of all the law, transgression of the law, willful transgression required your life. Period. And the few sins that don't require your life, they are very few. And so the Most High says, you know, I allowed you to use these animals to take their life, cover your sin, but that didn't please me. Because I actually like the animals, and I made them to be sacrificed to me, but not for your sin. So now I'm going to take away your ability to make those sacrifices. I'm going to tell you that your sacrifices, Messiah is your sacrifice for sin. And all the other animal sacrifices that you were doing, the ones that were supposed to please me, but you never could really bring them, very few of y'all could bring them to just please me. You were always coming to make them, make the sacrifice, but it was for your sin. So the free will offering and the peace offering and the meal offering, all the sacrifices that weren't for sin, Israel could rarely do them. Could rarely do them because they were in sin all the time. And most people in Israel were in sin. So the only one sacrifice that the Most High actually got to see most of the time, except for the ones that were required, and even a sin offering had to go with those, but before his feast days and his Sabbath. But, you know, if you wanted to come not on a feast day and not on a Sabbath, and you wanted to make a sacrifice to him, and it was a free will offering, if you had any kind of sin, you couldn't do it. Because you would have to make the sin offering. And so this is what he said, you know what? I never wanted this. So now I'm going to take away your ability to do it. The sin offering, that's over with. Did it once in Messiah. So don't go killing no more animals. And now I'm going to actually, I've already told you, if you make an animal sacrifice that is not at the door of the tabernacle or of the temple, then I'm going to consider that you actually killed blood, that you actually killed like a man. And that animal is going to be equal to you. You got to give up your life for taking the life of that animal. And, you know, we don't see the animals as being our equal. The Most High says, hey, if you sacrifice that thing, that animal, and it's not at the door of my temple, you are guilty of murder. And you forfeit your life. So because we have no temple, we have no altar, we can't do animal sacrifice. So he made sure of that, so that we would have to keep his laws concerning it. Now, when you got brothers and sisters saying, hey, you know, we build an altar out of all, you know, all earth and stuff, you know, rocks and whatever, and they did a sacrifice. That wasn't pleasing in the eyes of the Most High. And, you know, I almost went there myself. But I thank God he showed me. You don't do that. You don't, you know, you can't make an animal sacrifice to me. The place, I have not put my name in a place or on a temple or on an altar that you can go and do that. Even if you're a priest, you will be in defiance if you go in and make an animal sacrifice to me. I told you had to be brought to the door of the tabernacle or to the door of the temple when the temple was established. Now let's start getting into judgment. So we got righteousness is lawfulness. And to be righteous is to be lawful. And we get that definition from the scripture, and he gives us an example that Noah was a lawful man. And what he was preaching to the people was, keep the law. He did not tell them judgment was coming. He did not tell them the Most High was about to destroy the earth, the world. He was about to drown everybody. He was calling them back to righteousness, or calling them to righteousness, because I don't think they had ever been righteous. For the most part, that's why he said the thoughts of man were continually evil. So I don't think that he was calling them back to righteousness, calling them to righteousness, period. Keep my laws, those that you know. Keep them. And they wouldn't do it. And we got the same issue today. We're not up under those laws. We don't have to keep those laws. We don't have to do them. And the laws of our land are more righteous than the laws of the Most High. This is what men are saying, either directly or indirectly. This is what they're saying. So the Most High acts as the legislative branch. He's the lawgiver. He's the one that makes the law, okay, and gave them out. Then he told Israel, but when he first started, he was enforcing the law. So he was acting as the executive, executing judge. Israel would die all the time, by the thousands, anytime they disobeyed. He says, now I'm going to change that now. I'm not going to come at you like that. Because why should I beat you anymore? You are sick from the head to the from top of your head to the bottom of your feet. So I'm just going to do this all at one time. I'm going to appoint a day, and I'm going to do it then. Then we got the judicial branch, the judges. And the Most High, as I said, was at one time, he was all three. He says, now I'm going to pass, I'm going to give you the laws. And then I want you to enforce them, and I want you to adjudicate or determine, resolve issues about the law. Now, he gave this duty to the judges to make resolution, to resolve matters of the law. As far as interpreting those laws and saying what the scripture says, that he gave to the priests. So the priest and the judge would come together, and the priest would tell the judge, this is what the law is on this matter, and this is what the penalty of the law is on this matter. And then the judge would take that advice, and they would have to judge according to the law. Okay. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And let's start in verse 1. We have to bring everything forward. Messiah wasn't undoing anything. So we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 13. And we're going to break this up so that we can, sort of understand it. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto Yah thy Elohim any bullock or sheep wherein is a blemish or any ill-favoredness, for this is an abomination unto Yah thy Elohim. If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, man or woman that has wrought or done wickedness in the sight of Yah thy Elohim in transgressing his covenant. So we want to start here. We know we can't bring a sacrifice that is blemished. That's an abomination. Now he's saying, if there's any man or woman that has done wickedness in the sight of Yah, thy Elohim, in transgressing his covenant, in breaking his covenant, and has gone and served other Elohims and worshiped them, either the sun or the moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, investigate, and behold, if it be true and a thing certain that such abomination is done in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wickedness unto thy gates, even the man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. Now, the law was you don't worship any other Elohim. If you catch anybody, hear a rumor of it, you investigate it. And if it be found true, then now you're going to execute judgment. Okay? The judgment is you found it to be true, and the judgment is they shall be stoned. That's the judgment. Now, the job of the judge is not to create the law. the job of the judge is to see if you are innocent or guilty according to the law, and then to pass sentence. That's what the judge does. And then to pass sentence. Are they innocent or are they guilty? If they're innocent, you let them go. If they're guilty, what does the law say? You didn't have the option to make up their own penalty. The Most High gave the penalty. You shall stone them with stones till they die. That's the judgment. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. The hands of the witness shall be, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death. And afterwards, the hands of the people. So thou shalt put away evil from among you. If there arise a matter too hard, now this is where we got to understand, this is what how the Most High wants us to handle this, even today. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and go thee up to the place which Yah thy Elohim shall choose. So I had to say where this was going to take place at, or where the judge would be at. And thou shalt come unto the priest, the Levite, and unto the judge. So it took a priest from the tribe of Levi, and it took the judge that was assigned in those days, like Samson was a judge, Deborah was a judge. Bring it to them, and they're going to judge this matter. And if they don't know what the law says about it, what the commandments say, the priest is there to advise them. This is the law. This is where they transgress that. This is what the penalty of the law calls for. That's what the priest does. He didn't carry it out. He advised the judge, and the judge was supposed to judge according to the law. Okay. So the priest is there to advise them. And thou shalt come unto the priest, the Levite, in those days and inquire. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. What does the law say about this? If you sold this man's sheep, the law says you were to repay him four sheep. That's the sentence of the law. If you took a life and you were caught and the family wanted to kill you, you couldn't buy your way out of it, then the law said you were to die. This is what the judge does. Now let's make sure that this is the sentence of judgment. It's the sentence of the law and not the sentence of what I think or what the judge thinks. Because the judge has to have a standard. Let's keep reading. And thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of the place which of Yah shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee. So whatever they tell you to do, this priest and this judge, and the priest is not really going to tell you, the priest is going to advise as the law on that matter. This is the penalty according to the law on that matter. And according to the sentence, and according to the sentence of the law, which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. So whatever the law says, then you're going to be tried, or I'm going to hear this matter between you two, and whichever one I find to be guilty, I'm going to pass judgment, and I'm going to give you the sentence of the law, whatever sentence the law calls for. That's how he's supposed to judge. Let me hear the testimony. Let me hear your side. Let me hear their side. and I have to judge righteous, lawful judgment. Can't judge according to my own standard. Because you know what? I might be a respecter of person. You might have got here early and tried to bribe me, and I'm open to bribes. So I take your bribe. And now it ain't going to matter what the person says. I'm going to find in your favor, regardless of what the law says. Thou shalt do, verse 10 again, thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place, which Yah shall choose to show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law, which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment, which they shall tell thee. Thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand or to the left. You're not going to change this sentence. If the law says you're supposed to pay 4 sheep, you're going to pay 4 sheep. If the law says you're supposed to die, you couldn't turn away from that to the right or to the left. If that judge said you are worthy of death according to the findings, that's what they had to do. They didn't have the option. Well, we're going to be merciful. No. Didn't have that option, and this is what Israel started doing. The man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that stands in the minister, to minister there before Yah, that Elohim, or unto the judge. So he don't agree that the law says he's supposed to pay this price. And he don't want to agree with the judgment that the judge gave him according to the law. He's being presumptuous. Even that man shall die. It was real simple. That man should die. So we have to understand this is the way the Most High wanted things to go. This is his judgment. This is how the Most High said it was to be done. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken, listen unto the priest that standeth in the minister there before Yah, thy Elohim, what does the law say? What is the penalty of the law? If they transgress this, do they have to pay? Do they have to give the life, city, whatever that is? But they have to judge it according to the law. And they have to sentence according to the law. And the man, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. Now, the purpose of this is, and all the people shall hear and fear, and do no more presumptuously. And do no more presumptuously. Well, you know, that's your opinion. If the Most High puts you in the position of a judge, or he puts you in the position of the priest, and you say, thus saith Yah Elohim according to this, and if the judge or the priest are doing what they're supposed to do righteously, then you're supposed to obey it. You're supposed to obey it no matter what. The Most High didn't give you the option. Now, we're in the land of our captivity. In the land of our captivity, here's the difference. The Most High never gave an avenue of appeal. You just saw the avenue of appeal. You don't question what the priest and the judge came up with. The priest is supposed to be giving the law and advising the judge, this is what the law is concerning this. This is what the penalty is. So the judge hears the case and says, innocent or guilty. Then the judge judges according to the law. And the judge hands down a sentence according to the law, not according to his own standard. And that is the problem that we're facing today. So men have gone in and changed the law of the Most High and said, you know what? It's okay to be a homosexual, and they can be married, and here's a contract for them, and we're not going to do what the Most High said concerning the law. We're not going to do what he said concerning his judgment. We're not going to carry out the sentence that he calls for. That's why we read Romans chapter 10 from the beginning, because men are establishing their own righteousness, their own lawfulness, over the lawfulness or the righteousness of the Most High, not judging according to how the Most High judges. To say that we follow Messiah, and if we're following Messiah, then we got to do it exactly the way the Most High said to do it. Messiah didn't cancel any of this out, saying, when we're going to read this, judge lawful judgment. Don't judge outside of the law. And don't think that you can supersede the laws of the Most High. Well, you know what? That seems kind of extreme. Yeah, I don't, you know, that seems extreme to me. Whatever that penalty is, that's extreme. I'm not going to adjudicate that way. I'm going to come up with my own judgment. You know, I'm guilty of this. I was guilty of that. I thank Yah that he had mercy on me. And so I'm not going to judge you that way. You know, when there's ignorance, this is one thing. When it is presumptuous, you have made known the commandments of the Most High. You have made known the law of the Most High. You have made known the sentence. And then to do otherwise on your part. Let's keep reading. Now here's one where Israel is, because we're in captivity, we are in transgression. When thou art come into the land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom Yah thy Elohim shall choose. Who has to choose our leader? Yah does. One from among thy brethren. We're supposed to have a leader that Yah chooses from among our own people. Shalt thou set king over thee? Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not of thy brother. Now, we put ourselves up under presidents and other nations because we're there, but we're still supposed to have. Our king is supposed to represent us. And he didn't say that we couldn't have a king. He said, put in charge somebody that I select. But somebody that ain't of your brethren can't be over you. Now that's in our land, but we, when we're outside of our land, that's what makes us in sin, because now we have to have a king over us or a leader over us that is not of our own people. And by that same virtue, then it only makes us in transgression. Yet, the Most High says, he'll be for us to be, if we find ourselves in that condition, he has told Israel, obey Nebuchadnezzar. And all those who didn't want to and wanted to go to Egypt to avoid being up under Nebuchadnezzar, after the Most High told them to submit to Nebuchadnezzar, he had killed. He says, I'm going to take my name out of your mouth. And had them all killed, and even the Egyptians that helped them had them killed too. So by our own orphan, we find ourselves in a land that is not our own. And by virtue of that, we are in transgression because we have a king over us or a president, however you want to look at it, that is not of our own brethren. And even though we're supposed to have that, we can't allow it, period, if we're in our own land, by virtue of our being in captivity, shows our transgression that, you know, that should be a constant reminder. We don't have one of our own over us. And when we are in this land, because our people, most of our people don't even understand the law of the Most High, most of them are still asleep and they're trying to fit into this society. When we wake up, we should be trying to find somebody that understands the law and understands the law of the land that we might put over us so that they can represent our interests. But we want to be, we want to have our hands up under our butt, sitting on our hands. We don't want no part of that system. We can't do what the Most High said to do. We can't affect change because we're too afraid to get involved. But we are in transgression. And the Most High said, submit yourselves, and then we want to fight against, you know, when they are treating us ill, mistreating us, and we want to holler out. We want to complain. But because we were, or our forefathers were disobedient, we find ourselves in this position. So there's a lot that goes on because of transgression. And if we don't even, can't even carry out or won't carry out his judgment, we're up under his laws, we say we are. We would prefer the laws of our captor over the laws of the Most High. Because, you know, the laws of the Most High are very stringent. And Messiah did not cancel them out. Because if you don't transgress, you ain't up under the law. You ain't up under the penalty of the law. If you don't transgress. If we take this salvation, and if we want to make it like not to obey the laws of the Most High because we are in the land of our captivity. But because we're in the land of our captors, and we specifically in America, can't speak for other nations, but we are supposed to be able to keep the laws of the Most High because it's part of our religion. And this is the land of freedom of religion. That is the problem. So let's keep going. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And let's see what Yah allowed the judges to do, what he required the judges to do. Because we're going to go, and then we're going to go look at what Messiah says. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 16. And this is talking about judges and officers. Now, we're supposed to have judges and officers in every community. But we don't really have, you know, unless you're in a camp, I would say. But we're supposed to bring ourselves up under the authority of our own leaders. And the authority
is now in the conference.
In the judgment of these leaders, they're supposed to enforce even the marriage contract, the Ketubah, have that in place then when you're making a marriage contract, how is it enforceable? So listen to me. Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates. You got gates of the city, okay? So each one of these cities had a judge. And you would take that matter to them, which I, thy Elohim, giveth thee throughout thy tribe. So it wasn't just the tribe of Levi that was judging. Had their own judges. It wasn't just Judah. And they shall judge the people with just judgment, with lawful judgment. That's what just is. That was remember that we looked at that word at the bottom of here? Just and lawful are one and the same. You are just if you are judging according to the law of the Most High. And you're not turning to the right or to the left. Then you are just. So when it said that Joseph being a just man, Joseph was going to do according to the law. If we have understanding of that, then we know that the law, here she is pregnant. It ain't his. She done been with somebody. The law said that she was supposed to die. Taken to law, but he didn't want to do it in public. Let me go get your father. Let's go out in the desert. Or let's go in the woods. Let's go up in the mountains. Wasn't that, you know, he's pregnant. So he really didn't have a whole lot of choice if he was going to, if he's just, he had to follow the law. He couldn't just divorce her and put her away. Thou shalt not rest. This means to rest means to, I looked this up and forgot the meaning already, the way it says it. Just spread out, bend. You're not going to bend the law like you would like a bow, because that word can also mean, as you see here, apply it like a bow. Or down or bowing, carry aside, decline, deliver, extend, go down, be gone, incline, intend, let down, offer, outstretch, overthrown, pervert. You cannot pervert the law. You're not going to stretch it. You're not going to bend the law. That means you got to be strict with it. What does the law say? What is the penalty? This is my sentence. This is my judgment. According to the law, not according to your own standard. So let's read this again. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment, with lawful judgment. Thou shalt not risk or pervert judgment. You're not going to bend the law. Thou shalt not respect persons. You're not going to say, oh, this one's rich and this one's poor. Let me take the side of the rich man. Or, because he's poor, let me take the side of the poor man. Use the same standard for everyone. Neither take a gift. Don't let nobody bribe you. For a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the word of lawfulness, of righteousness, of being lawful. So you take a bribe and now you're going to bend the law, or are you going to rule in favor and corrupt the law and say, you know what, I know the law says this, but this person gave me a gift, so I'm going to rule on their side. When the law clearly would favor the other person. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. That which is altogether lawful shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee. So he's saying that the judges have to use the law. And they can't bend the law. They can't pervert it. They can't take a gift and be swayed one way or the other. Don't pervert the law by adding your own understanding to it. You know, the law says, this is what the priest said, but, you know, I don't think that's right. So I'm going to judge this way. Yah would then get that judge. And I was looking for that verse. I haven't found it yet. But if the judges didn't keep real the law and go according to the law, then the judge was guilty of the sins of the people for not teaching it to them and carrying it out. So to Matthew chapter 7, look at what Messiah said. Because this is what we've been trying to get to. Understand that judgment has to do with judging or following the law of the Most High, his statutes, and his judgment, what he ordained. That's what judging was all about. It wasn't judging according to your own standard. It wasn't judging according to your own opinion or what was right in your own eyes, because you personally felt that, you know, you personally felt a certain way about something. The Most High says, no, if you're a judge, these are the laws, in my laws. So judge righteously, judge justly, judge lawfully, and don't pervert it. So if you don't turn from to the right or to the left of it, you can't pervert it. Just do what he says to do and don't add to or take away from. So let's look at what Messiah says. Matthew chapter 7. And let's see what he's actually really saying here, all right? Judge not that you be not judged. Now, what he's saying here is, just let him explain it. For with judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure, what sentence you give, it shall be measured or given to you again. So if you are judging someone and you're in a position of judging, then you need to judge justly. Judge according to the law and judge whatever sentence you give out. If you are guilty, that's the same sentence you're going to get. If you gave the sentence according to the law, or you didn't. And why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own? He's asking a question. Consider yourself first. Are you judging rightfully? Are you judging justly? If you got something wrong with you, if you stealing, how are you going to judge somebody on stealing when you a thief yourself? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, the splinter, out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. Now he's telling you what you have to do to judge. Stop doing what you were doing and become lawful. Don't just become lawful for that second, but actually become lawful and understand the law and understand the penalties. And what you're judging, pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the splinter out of thy brother's eye. So if you're going to judge, make sure you're not being hypocritical. If you murder somebody, and you are guilty of murder, How are you going to judge somebody else who is being brought before you for murder? If you are transgressing, you say, well, it's wrong for you to do that, but then somehow you got off. You being hit, you didn't get the same judgment because you're being hypocritical. Give not that which is holy unto the dog. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend or horn you, cut you. The bottom line is, if we are going to judge, and we are told to judge righteous judgment, judge amongst our own people, then we have to judge according to the law of the Most High, not according to the law of men, except for where the law of men don't contradict the laws of the Most High. If there's a law in the land that's not covered in the scriptures, that the Most High hasn't covered, then you yield to the law of the land. If the Most High has already judged on a matter, he's got a law on it, no man on the earth has the authority, if they say they follow the Most High, has the authority to undo his law. So we can't make it illegal to do something that the Most High permits. We can't make it illegal because now they are changing his laws. Now, if they say for their land they don't follow the Most High, then they can do whatever they want to. If you say you follow the Most High, you are bound to follow his laws, judgment. And you are bound to judge the way that he judges, according to his law. So we got too many quote-unquote Christians who are mixing the law of the land with the law of the Most High because it's convenient, because it's less taxing, because it doesn't require the same penalty, the same sentencing. So if you can't do the law, don't be trying to hold somebody else to it. That don't mean you're right. Because if you can't do what the Most High said, he says you are in transgression. To John 3 and 4. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And if you transgress the law, then the law comes with a sentence. And it comes with a penalty. And the Most High didn't change those. Let's drop down to verse 8. Because these verses are taken out of context. Whosoever abideth in him, Messiah, sinneth not. If you really are abiding in Messiah, you're not going to sin. When you learn what you're really supposed to be doing, you're not going to do it. You're not going to sin. So he says, if you willfully sin after you've come into the knowledge of the truth, there is no blood for that. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither know him. So when we say, you know what, ain't none of us perfect, when you know and you understand and you know you can't sin, not that you can't do it, you don't do it. When you understand the ramifications and the magnitude of what's going to happen, and that there is no blood for that, you will stop. You'll stop making excuses for yourself. So you'll stop. He says, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Because you know Messiah don't mean that you can't sin. It means that if you know him, you don't sin. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. So if you're still walking around in sin and making excuses for it, he says you don't know him. Because if you knew him, you would know that you can't do that. If you were abiding in him, then you would walk as he walked. As he walked, he didn't sin. That's why I said when we take the totality of the verses, we try to make it okay for us, you know, where we're human, and the word is used in the scripture. He's going to stand in for you. He's going to take your side. No, he's not. He says you don't know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he, Messiah, is righteous, lawful. He that committed sin is of the devil. Now, this is not Brother Miles saying this. This is straight from the scripture. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Elohim was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Elohim does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, the seed of the Ruach, and he cannot sin. When you understand, you know. When you've been converted, you know. I can't make no excuses. I can't keep doing what I was doing. I haven't truly converted. I haven't truly been born again. Because he is born of Elohim. In this, the children of Elohim are manifest, that they don't sin anymore. And the children of the devil. Want to know who the children of the devil are? Those that continue in sin. Want to know who the children of the Most High is? Those that stop sinning. Stop making sin. Stop saying, I'm only human. I got my needs. I got my wants. You got to do things the way the Most High said to do them. Period. You got to follow the rules of the covenant. Period. And what the Most High permits is permissible. It is lawful. It is just. And men don't have the authority to change it. No rabbi, no priest, no pastor, no teacher. What the Most High has said, that is just. That is lawful. What the Most High has modified, that is just, and that is lawful. And if you want to be righteous, you will do those things the way he said to do them, and not outside of them. Because if you do it outside of them, then you have sinned and you have transgressed. So in order to judge, you got to first take the beam out of your own eye. You got to find out what is lawful and what is not, according to the Most High. Then you judge according to that. So make sure you ain't breaking it. Make sure you're not walking contrary to it. Make sure you're not giving your own opinion or what's right in your own eyes. With that being said, you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to judge according to the laws of the Most High, and you yourself are in transgression of them. That's what Messiah was saying. If you are in transgression, learn what his laws are and bring yourself out of transgressing. Don't transgress them. Then you can judge according to righteous judgment. But if you are fornicating, how are you going to judge somebody who's fornicating? If you're in an adulterous relationship, how are you going to judge somebody who's committing adultery? If you are stealing, how are you going to judge somebody who's stealing? If you're going to say, hey, you should lose your hand for stealing, but you haven't gotten caught stealing, but you're stealing, you just ain't been caught, then I'm going to give you the same punishment you gave them. In the kingdom. So you might be walking around with one hand or no hands in the kingdom. Because you're out, you gave out this judgment. Don't be a hypocrite. Everybody don't have the same problem. Everybody's sin. Everybody don't commit the same sin. Everybody not tempted by the same thing. But when you stop sinning, and doing things and start doing things the way the Most High says and stop transgressing his laws, then you can be a righteous and a just judge. And you can judge too. His laws, his statutes, his commandments. You know what sentence to give out. You can't give a sentence that the Most High has already spoken on. That's why he says a lot of us can't hear this and understand it, and a lot of us just won't do it because we didn't consider the cost. A lot of us just don't want to go to the lake. I don't want to end up in the lake. I don't want to end up in hell. I don't want to burn forever. But we don't want to quit sinning either. Saying that you don't judge if you have not stopped sinning. And everybody that says you can't judge me, if the Most High has placed you in that position, if the Most High has given you understanding, then you know I can't just walk in sin. Because if I continue to walk in sin, he tells me I'm a child of the devil. I ain't his child. Let's read that one more time, and then I'm going to ask, are there any questions? Go back to verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that commits of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Elohim was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of Elohim does not commit sin. Don't let nobody tell you that lie that you can continue to sin. You're trying to get out of sin. You won't find anywhere in the scripture where the Most High says, yeah, go try and don't sin. You have an advocate if you just try not to sin. He don't say that. Only time you get an advocate is when you are sinning and it's ignorantly. You don't know you're sinning. Anything that you know is wrong, you don't intentionally do that. Then you got an advocate with the Father. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of Elohim. So when you have the truth and you accept the truth, and you count the cost, he said, you know what? I know I can't sin no more. I got some things in me. I just got to cut loose. I got to let them go. Yeah, I like doing this, but you know what? The Most High said, this ain't acceptable. And I'm not going to do it. That has to be your mindset. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to make it where it's acceptable. Oh, you know, you're a good person. You got a very big heart. You're kind-hearted. You're generous. You're loving. But you're a man and you love to sleep with men. Or you're a woman and you love to sleep with other women. Most I said, it's an abomination. It's not allowed. But I'm a good person. I only steal when I need to. I only tell little white lies. All liars. When we continue in sin, we cannot judge anybody. And so when somebody's telling you that, they're trying to say, hey, you were a sinner too. Or you are a sinner. Truth of the matter is, if you've been truly born again and you have been taught properly, then you know you have to let those things go and you can become a non-sinner. You can become a ignorant sinner. I didn't know that was wrong. Now I know it. I'm not going to do it anymore. You can course correct. You can work toward perfection. Be thou perfect, for I am perfect. You can work toward that because you're willing to accept your wrongdoing that you were doing ignorantly. Then you can sit in a seat of judgment. This Messiah is not saying, don't judge. You're a hypocrite, don't judge. But if you're not a hypocrite and you have stopped these things, then it's your duty to tell people what's right and what's wrong and to judge in those matters. I pray we can hear this. Are there any questions concerning this precept? I finished it, and I'm not going to need to do a second one unless God says so. Any questions? Judge not, lest ye be judged. So everybody understands, if you judge, you have to judge according to the laws of the Most High. All right. With that being said, if there are no questions, to Brother Miles. All right.
We love you, Miles. Thank you so much for blessing. I thank the Father for blessing you.
Oh, to Yah be the glory, my sister. To Yah be the glory. We just want to make it in, and we want to do it the what? Right way?
Right way.
So there's only one way, and that is the right way, and that's to be lawful. Obeying him.
Amen. Like you said, we just want to know what's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Right.
All right. So, new moon is tomorrow evening.
23rd.
It's 22nd. I changed it. It's 22nd.
Tomorrow.
Okay. I went back and I told you guys I'd been using the scientific new moon,
mm-hmm.
when the calculated one, when, you know, technically calculations that would be correct, but the most I said how we were to do it. We were to use the what? Sighting of the crescent. When the sun hit the moon and we could see the crescent, then we were to count the days from there. And that would be our sign. So I went back. It was off by one day in most cases. Off by one day. So the new moon, as it's calculated, was about 24 hours earlier than the crescent appeared. So I went back and adjusted the calendar and adjusted the feast days, adjusted when we will observe Passover, because everything is based upon what? The beginning of the month?
Yeah.
And so it was miscalculated by one day, and I just want to be as perfect as possible. When I feel wrong, I told you, I don't have a problem correcting it or admitting to it. And so I pray that we everybody shows up for the new moon as we keep it observant according to the laws of the Most High. He said that the moon would be that what we would use to for signs and for seasons. And, you know, the sun is also used to establish, like the sun is used to establish the winter and the spring equinoxes. And so that first new moon after the spring equinox is our first month, but that's when the moon appears. That's how we are to do it. Not when, you know, when the spring equinox, that's the beginning of the month. Most I didn't say we use the sun for that, because we use the moon for that. So that's how we are walking accordingly in that. So new moon will be tomorrow night. That will be the first of Nisan. The beginning month number one. Then we know in the first month we also got Passover, and we also have the Feast of First Fruits or the heave offering. And so if you check out the calendar that I sent you, it has those days and what days should be, which would be non-work days according to the scriptures, according to the law. And so I pray that you guys use that to plan, to make your plans, so that we are walking according to what the Most High says. Okay? All right, with that being said, we will have the new moon service tomorrow night. So have your grape juice and have your unleavened bread. We will also celebrate the birth of Messiah. You know, the angels celebrated it. The shepherds celebrated it. The Christians say they celebrate it. But, you know, we are not to assign to Messiah or anything. We're not to mix the Most High feast days with, you know, pagan things. And as the Most High has shown me, through the tabernacle, the sanctuary, he foretold of the birth of Messiah. The sanctuary is a representation of Christ, of Messiah. And the tabernacle or the sanctuary was born or raised up after 9 months on the first of Nisan or the first of the first month in the second year that they came out of Egypt. So we will also celebrate that on tomorrow evening. And we will recognize, you know, our Messiah, his birth into the world. We will look at, you know, those things that the shepherds did and how they proclaimed his birth to the world. That's another thing. I think we went over this before, but the Jews are saying that the Messiah is in the world again now. But Messiah said, and the angels told us how we would know his what coming. And he would not be born of a woman. Okay, so the same way he left is the same way he's returning. So if they say, lo, he's over here, or lo, he's over there, if we don't see him come in the clouds, it ain't him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're just going to follow the scripture. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. And let me get the blog talk.
Brother Miles, Shalom family.
Shalom.
Shalom family. Peace and blessings. See everybody tomorrow night for New Moon.
Shalom.